For a limited time, you can get a Big Mac meal for just $8. That's a burger, fries, and a drink. They don't call it an extra value meal for nothing. Get a Big Mac meal only at McDonald's.
Price and participation may vary. Promotion pricing may be lower than meal pricing.
There's a fire inside you you can't ignore. Stand still, not a chance. You're a lifelong learner who's come this far. Now, we are here to help you keep going further. Capella University, what can't you do? Visit capella.edu to learn more.
The show is about to begin.
Hang in there, it is!
That's Smiley Kaufman for 61. Wow.
Featuring Smiley Kaufman.
If you're in a local IHOP at a PGA Tour event, you might see Hideki Matsuyama.
Yeah. Put it up in the stance, strengthen the grip.
His co-host, Charlie Hume.
We've now picked five of the last eight winners on the PGA Tour.
Oh, it's going to hole. Please go in the hole. Please go in the hole. Please go in the hole.
Yes, sir.
And the biggest names in golf.
That's a great question. Can I talk about it?
I don't think I'm ready.
How good does it get, SK?
Why not ask, Charlie?
Today, live from the Pinecrest Inn, it's the Smiley Show. So long, everybody. This is the Smiley Show.
Welcome to a major championship preview edition of the Smiley Show. The final major championship preview edition of the Smiley Show in 2026 for the 154th Open Championship at Royal Birkdale. We've got Smiley fresh off the course doing some preview for Live From on Golf Channel. And Smiley, a little bit of technical difficulty here, but I'm happy to report that in the stop and start nature of the record of the show, it is at a high temperature of 82 degrees Fahrenheit at Royal Birkdale today. It is 85 degrees in my office right now. I've got a large fan here that's really – whoop, I just blew, I think, some of my prep off the desk. But I'm less
sweaty than
I thought
it was going to be. It's forged by nature. Yeah, I mean, what do we? If it's going to be hot in Birkdale, it's going to be hot in the office. We're gonna, you know, we're simulate the.
By golly, we are simulating the environment. We are forged by. It's windy out there. It's windy in here, and so my apologies if that comes through on the record. I'll try to kind of mute as best I can, but you know, the real indicator is going to be how much sweat appears on this summer of cotton polo throughout the episode. That's how you know how far we are in. Is just, you know, how well did I do on the temperature management up here? But hey, look, we're here. We're playing through it. You've got yourself a little iced Americano, and we are going to preview the fourth major of 2026. No matter what else happens here, so
let's do it, man. Let's get dialed in. I was a bit jet lagged, kind of middle of the afternoon, which wasn't shocking. Got to my hotel at about 11:30 p.m. last night. You know, I had an 8.5 hour. Well, actually, I should start. I had a 4 hour drive from Lake Tahoe to San Fran, eight and a half hour flight. 4 hour drive from London to San Fran. Get here at 11:30. Actually, I was pleased that I woke up at around 7, but I did wake up like every other hour, give or take. So it wasn't a clean sleep, but it wasn't like a 4:30 wake up, which you feel like you always end up having here. So I felt pretty good. Walked the whole golf course, walked 9 holes with Scotty and Sam, walked about 4 or 5 holes with Tommy Fleetwood. So I got to see, you know, a lot of these players, or at least not a lot of these players, but enough golf today to get a really good feel for how this place is playing. I don't know if you ever really know exactly how it's going to play. We'll kind of get into just when the ball is on the ground and predicting where it's going to end up and how challenging that's going to be for players and caddies this week.
Let's just start there, because I think for the most part, for most majors, even venues that we're seeing for the first time, but especially for ones we've seen multiple times, you show up at the golf course and you kind of know who the favorites are going to be on any given week. This week, it's truly anyone's guess. And so I feel like the things that we're kind of taking into account here, the variables, the factors are wind direction, which of course is present at every Open Championship, the nature of how baked out this course is. You shared some photos on X of just a very brown looking Royal Birkdale. And then those two things combined how they're impacting club selection off the tee, and what types of these, you know, very treacherous pop bunkers they're bringing into play. And we've heard guys, a number of guys in their press conferences, Wyndham Clark, Jordan Spieth, Michael Kim on Twitter, talking about, hey, I'm hitting 3, 4, 5 iron north of 300 yards. And just it's a different sort of total number on any given day or really any given hour. So with all those things in mind, Smiley, you know, does it favor a longer hitter who can hit a bunch of irons? Does it favor a shorter hitter that can compensate for lack of distance with rollout? Is there a profile coming into play this week at Royal Birkdale?
It's just going to be hard to hit a bunch of fairways, because especially the holes that dogleg at all. You know, those are the ones that it feels like there's a bunker right at the corner at 300, and you're always trying to take that out of play. So you can play this golf course conservative in some spots when you have a wind that's either cross or helping. That makes it a little bit easier and a little bit more predictable. I guess when it gets two down, then it gets a little bit unpredictable with how far the golf ball could roll. But it's just crazy the difference in a hole like number two, which is it's a 419-yard par four. And today played downwind. I had Scottie Scheffler and Sam Burns in about the same spot, and I wrote down 7 mile an hour wind, pretty much straight down. They all hit 4 irons, and it rolled out to about 275. And this is when it's at like 5 to 7 miles an hour. Can you imagine when it gets to a gust at, let's just say double it? You know, that golf ball is all of a sudden getting to that bunker I just referenced at 300 yards, and that's kind of what happens out at this golf course, is being able to adjust on the fly. But also on that same hole, you could hit driver on a 419-yard hole and get it into a greenside bunker at 376 yards, which is like completely possible. So you're looking at your book and you're just doing, you know, the best guesstimation that you possibly can with the conditions that are at play. But then you flip around to the next hole, which is a par four that's 450 yards back into the breeze. And I watched Sam Burns hit driver about 295. It's like, okay, the difference in just the ball and its rollout in downwind versus into the wind it's just bizarre. It really is crazy.
So there are a number of reasons why that is the case this week. One is, of course, the heat wave that's been going through the UK. It is the reason why we have these brown conditions. There's also been some sort of renovations and changes to the golf course this week that we'll take you behind the curtain a little bit with the production here. We had flyover videos. The stability of the internet connection here is not our best, we'd say, especially the distance across the pond here, Smiley. But I think we could still go through the course if you'd like to, hole by hole, because the RNA put out a great media guide walking us through each hole with Padraig Harrington giving us little blurbs on each one of these holes. So maybe we just run through each one. You give us your notes out of the book, yeah. Kind of compare those. Maybe on the back end, Jackson, our production wizard, can put something together for us.
Yeah. Before we do that, you know, you mentioned this heat wave here.
Yeah.
It's going to be here the whole week. So the weather, we're not expecting any rain. It's supposed to get hot, a little bit of gusty wind. So the place is not going to get, it's going to continue to dry out and play more firm. But what that also means is that people in the UK can actually start to eat ice cream at an appropriate time to eat ice cream. You know, I don't know if I've told you this, but in past Open Championships, it's been cold, it's been rainy, you've been wet. And then I just look over and these people are in three layers eating ice cream. And I'm like, who's eating ice? And I actually asked some fans about it today, and they said, you know, it's just kind of what you have to do. It's when it's summer in the UK, doesn't matter if it's cold, if it's hot, we're eating ice cream. And I was like, okay, I appreciate that. And those guys, I mean, they're literally double fisting ice cream today. It was a perfect day for it.
It sounds like my kind of place, you know. Yeah. Give me Guinness and ice cream, and I don't care how many layers I have on, I'm going to be happy. All right, so let's dig into it. So this is, we'll start with the first hole here. It's a par four, 447 yards. And here's a little blurb from Padraig Harrington. It's a demanding tee shot, and there are two choices. You could be aggressive and hit driver, which is what players tend to do when there's nothing on the line. But this is the Open. In the final round in 2008, I stood up on the tee with an iron, and Greg Norman had a driver in his hands up until it was his turn to play, when he switched back to an iron. So something to think about there. So give us your notes on that first hole, Smiley.
Well, it's a fascinating tee shot, and I think one of the ones that doesn't have like a pop bunker that's, you know, staring at you in the face. The only one that you see is one that's 230 yards away that really doesn't feel like it's going to be in play. If anything, for the players that hit iron off the tee, that would be the one that they're trying to avoid, which is actually a pretty brilliant design because that bunker is on the left side of the hole and it makes you hit it towards what would be a lost ball out to the right. So there's that little element of the architect trying to get you to play and hit towards the trouble, which is a daunting task for anybody. But if you do hit driver, there's out of bounds left. If you happen to get a right to left breeze, I saw Tom McKibben ship one OB today. And then I also saw some other players hit driver out of bounds right. So it's one that if you get offline, you can quickly be re-teeing at the first hole, which is not fun and very, very daunting. But when we get a west or northwest wind, that's probably the trickiest one. It's a hole that doglegs to the left. So when you get off of the left or in, that's when you really start to think about, you know, if you get some side spin to the right, how that out of bounds could really come into play quickly. So I for one, would probably be trying to hit one low and chasing it down the fairway and just giving myself, if it's an 8 or 7 iron, fine, like just get me going. I don't feel comfortable hitting driver on that hole, but I'm sure there are players that will.
You already gave us a few notes after watching Scotty Scheffler and Sam Burns at the par 4 second hole playing 419 yards this year. The notes, we have a quick blurb here from Padraig. It's tough to find the line off the tee on the slight right to left hole. Avoiding the right-hand fairway bunkers is key. It's not all about being gung-ho and aggressive, as a well-placed tee shot can leave an inviting approach. Any other items any notes you want to add there in addition to what you shared a few moments ago?
You know, that's such a it's a good way to put it, because it's another one of those tee shots that requires a decision off the tee. Players that I've mentioned earlier, Scotty and Sam, decided to hit iron off the tee to try to take the bunkers out of play. Now, that'll be more unpredictable as the week goes on, depending on how firm this golf course gets. But again, it's not like cut and dry as far as like what you see. There's still visual elements that you have to deal with that Royal Birkdale has, which are these dunes that are kind of around this property that add a visual layer that is something that, as a player, feels like you're hitting into hardly nothing of a fairway. And then you think about if it has any type of, even just the slightest bit of dogleg, how that fairway all of a sudden shrinks. So the second hole is a great example of it. Driver, I think it feels like you're hitting into just a slight dogleg left with the driver. And I don't mind the play with driver, to be honest. It's one of the holes that I could see a player stepping up and saying, you know what, I'm just going to send a driver and get it up near the green. Now, especially if it's downwind, if you start getting some crosswinds there, I think the prudent play is to just try to find an iron and get it in play.
Okay, next hole, the third, a par 4 playing 450 yards this year. Patrick notes are, it's a dogleg left to right, but you can't quite see the right-hand side of the fairway. If you can keep the ball in play over the first three holes and make three pars, it's a very nice start.
Yeah, I definitely I found that tee shot to be a little tricky. Today it was back into the breeze. You know, we just talked about the second hole. This one plays in the opposite direction, and it actually plays a little bit higher up too on a tee. So it feels like, you know, when you're playing from an elevated tee back into the breeze, it feels like, you know, that ball is in the air for a very long time. So if you find this fairway, you've hit a very, very good drive. And if you do, for instance, Sam Burns hit driver and kept it about 5 yards short of the 308-yard bunker. And he was left with, I believe, an 8-iron into the green. So even with a driver off of the tee, you know, he's still hitting a mid-iron into the green that it slopes right to left. So when you have some winds that are going to be off of the left, I think that'll help hold the green a little bit. But still, I think this third hole is a challenging one. It's not going to be necessarily a pushover by any means.
I'll pause here at the par 3 fourth to note that one of the main design changes between 2017 and 2026 was creating more variety in the par 3s, as, you know, whether it was a product of the wind direction in 2017, it ended up where a lot of guys were hitting the same club on all four par 3s. And Friday at Golf did a great Q&A with Tom McKenzie of McKenzie and Ebert, who did this sort of renovation between the last two Open Championships. He had a great quote from that Q&A. It said, "I think delivering the variety of tests in the par threes is a change I'm most proud of. The introduction of the 15th is a long downwind par three where you can actually run the ball into the green, something you couldn't do on any of the par threes before, then shortening the seventh, playing from a high tee to a tough green. That will be a really, really, really interesting test on a windy day." So those are two par threes upcoming.
They said you could run it up?
On the 15th. This is not the fourth. Yes, yeah, that was a longer quote from Tom McKenzie.
Here looking at it, I was like, if you're in a low running hook, you could run it up there.
No, that was meant to illustrate one of the key goals as part of this sort of change between 17 and 26 was to create more variety. So starting with the first par three, we'll see the fourth hole. They added a new tee, playing 20 yards longer than 2017. Now playing 219 yards. And Patrick says, "This might be a straightforward, simple design for a long par three, but it can play havoc. If you make par here, you're very comfortable and happy. There's no trickery to this hole at all."
I think it's a tough hole. It's especially like today, it was off of the right, and you couldn't really tell how much it was going to be hurting. And it was, it's when you play links golf, when you start holding shots, and when you get north winds on this property, which we are going to get a north wind for a good bit of this event, 14 of the 18 holes are going to be crosswinds. When you get the east northeast wind we had today, you're going to get a little bit more up and back. But the north wind is a lot of crosswinds, and this fourth hole was a great example of today being a crosswind that guys were trying to hold. But as the week goes on, I think it's going to play a little bit more into the wind and maybe some left or right. And it's a very, very narrow opening at the front of the green. It's another hole that the players are going to have to hit a variety of shots in their bags. They're going to have to hit wedges off of very, very firm turf. But this fourth hole is going to be one they got to stripe a long iron. They got to step up there, hit it online, hold the wind. And I think, too, when you think about a really, really firm golf course.
For a limited time, you can get a Big Mac meal for just $8. That's a burger, fries, and a drink. They don't call it an extra value meal for nothing. Get a Big Mac meal only at McDonald's.
Price and participation may vary. Promotion pricing may be lower than meal pricing.
This is Becca and Tanya from Scrubbing In with Becca Tilly and Tanya Rad.
Becca, can I ask you a question? How do I convince myself I need something before I buy it?
Oh, so we're doing that today.
Well, I'll be shopping online and suddenly I'm like, well, technically this counts as self-care.
You're definitely not alone there.
That's why Klarna stands out. It's about smarter tools that help you feel more confident with your money.
Klarna brings payments, cash back, and money management together in one place with flexible ways to pay. It helps you make smarter money moves without the stress.
That's the goal, right? Having tools that make your money work with you.
Download the Klarna app today or visit Klarna.com to learn more. California resident loans made or arranged pursuant to a California finance law license. NMLS number 1353190. Klarna balance account required to be eligible for cashback points. Limitations, terms, and conditions apply.
You can almost psych yourself into thinking that you're not going to be able to hold a green with a long iron. And so I saw today countless players come up short on this hole because they felt like it was going to land so hard because a long iron is going to come in on a lower trajectory. The greens are firm. But really, because it's going to be playing a little bit more back into the breeze this week, you can actually play it more aggressively into the green and actually try to take on some back flags. Because when it's landing on the green back into the breeze, it's actually going to land fairly soft. But it's hard to make yourself make that adjustment where sometimes you're going to be playing 50 yards short of the green playing a run-up shot. And that's just the nature of this event is – par threes at times you might be able to fly something onto the green like with a long iron and hold it to some back stuff, but when you get downwind you're just playing a front number and praying for dear life. So I think this one is going to be tough, but I could see a lot of players coming up short this week because they just don't trust that they can hold and they don't want to end up going long.
Golly, it just feels like we're setting up for You're mentioning this sort of the crapshoot nature, the variety we're going to see of just, it feels like we're going to get some real interesting developments coming down the stretch, whatever those may be, you know, whether it's for the leader, for chasers. But I kind of like that. And I imagine most of the viewing audience will as well. The fifth par four, this is one of the first kind of major redesigns we saw from the 2017 Open Championship. It's actually playing 25 yards shorter. It's playing 321 yards, but the way that it's been redesigned almost creates a little bit more of a challenge or risk reward proposition where it could potentially be drivable, but the bunkering has changed to make it a, you know, you really have to kind of thread a needle, it seems like. So reposition tees, new fairway bunkers. They move the green left. The notes from Padraig Harrington, this is a classic dogleg hole. There have been significant changes to create more of a risk reward tee shot. It's a drivable hole depending on the wind, playing 25 yards shorter than 2017. Laying up should provide a largely stress-free way of playing the hole, but it's not without drama to go for it. All of what we've already covered there, it seems like you're chuckling a little bit at the prospect of trying to drive the screen.
I just don't see how you're going to end up getting the ball on the green. It's just the mounding is too severe, just short of the green, where I feel like it's bounding over the green. Or if you land on the backside of the bunker up the right side at about 295, it just feels like that ball is bounding through the green. It's not my favorite drivable par four. I'm going to be honest with you. I feel... like there's not a way to get it onto the green. Like I think you could hit a perfect golf shot and it not end up in a necessarily a perfect place. So I think it all kind of depends on the bounce, which I don't necessarily love. But I think as this hole potentially plays back into the breeze or even has a lot of right to left in it, it's going to be difficult to get it in the place which is just short of the green and bunker is perfect. But there's a pond that's like kind of pesky over there to the right that if you try to hit a driver and you try to play this kind of a chippy cut driver or even just a fade to hold the right to left wind, you could easily hit one into that pond there today. I watched Scotty do it with the driver before hitting a three wood on his next tee ball. So it's a pond that definitely can come into play with a missed strike. But I think if you don't feel good with this tee shot, you can always lay it up short to the left. Sam hit 7-iron today off of the tee.
Wow.
And he walked up and he said, he's like, this is, I'm going to go with the aggressive player. He's like, what you hit? And he's like, 7-iron. I was like, ooh, I don't want to talk. I want to tell you that you're being soft here, but. Come on, man.
But I mean, downwind seven on this hole, 321 yards could leaves you what, like a sand wedge for some of these guys?
Yeah,
maybe it's
gap
less.
Wedge, the back pins, lob wedge, the front pins. Yeah,
yeah,
It's the play. Like the one thing that I'll say is like I don't like. There's one bunker that's at about 236 yards up the right side of the fairway, and I feel like if that bunker wasn't there, you would get a little bit more variety in what guys could hit off the tee if they wanted to have more of an aggressive layup where they could hit maybe a like a 5-iron off of the tee to maybe get it to where they're in that 60 yard range. Now there's probably like an 8-yard gap in between the bunkers that you're actually working with, so really the only layup option is to play short and left or you know, push something up to the green because it's so firm. Now, if it was green, I think that you could maybe make a case that you could, you know, play into the next layup area if you want to kind of look and see what I'm looking at here. But it's this bunker right there.
Yeah, I've pulled up the flyover looking on my screen here, and it's interesting because even if you're laying up short of that left fairway bunker, you know, if they have a front left pin, you still have to deal with those two left green side bunkers. Like it's
super
can't really access that. Yeah,
that would be the one I actually would lay up to. I don't like pushing up to that front left pin because I think it's if you try to go for the green and you get left and long, I think the front left part of that green is too pitched away from you. But you would be playing back into the breeze potentially, which might be okay. But it's all pin dependent and wind dependent, really, the fifth.
Okay, so let's go to the sixth now. Par four, 514 yards, which is 15 yards longer than it played in 2017. They added 15 yards to this. It is widely considered the toughest hole on the front nine. Patrick Harrington
says, because you can't hit the fairway.
it's a big, tough left to right hole. Probably the toughest hole in the front nine. Again, make your par and walk off happy. Thanks for the in-depth analysis, Patty. All right, I'm pulling up the flyover. Yeah, I see what you're saying, because it's like a very angular left to right dog leg here, and it seems
you have to get
me
lucky
that,
at the fairway.
So are guys going to lay up and if you will, obviously they're going to challenge that and really try to kind of cut the corner and then hit that tiny narrow fairway up there. Good Lord.
Well, that's the best option, because there is the good thing that they have here at the six is that there's a pretty severe uphill slope short of the green that you can either land a ball into or land short of. Watch guys today play from the rough and land it 20 yards short of the green and bounce it up onto the green from fescue eyes. But the reason behind why you would push it up here is that I think guys are just going to take their chances with a wispy fescue lie. And if great, if you hit the fairway, awesome. But it just, you're taking out the bunkers is the most important thing. And so guys are just going to probably be in that right rough a lot. There's a little bit of a ditch that runs through the fairway on the left side that guys
are going to
say,
is that coming to play if it's a downwind shot?
Yeah, down and off the right, you could definitely get through into that ditch. So the problem is that, you know, to fly it into the fairway on a very, very aggressive, like conservative line is 331 yards. So you're just thinking like, all right, if I miss hit it at all, I potentially could be not covering the bunkers on the right side. So you really need to, you know, hit something hard but this everything about this hole screams you need to hit like some type of chippy spinny cut to hold the fairway. Mm-hmm. But all that does is bring in the right bunkers. And if you hit a good one and you hit it too straight down the fairway, then you find the bunker on the left. So I think you'll see guys try to either go over the right bunkers or even play up the right and just hope they bounce it through the fescue into the fairway. And if it's in the fescue, fine, just play it up under the green and like Padraig say, try to walk away with a four.
And I'd say as well here, too, that, you know, we apologize for the technical difficulties that are not enabling the more immersive version of this preview. But if you wanted to go to YouTube and go to @golfrnda and search every hole at Royal Birkdale, you can track along with the videos we're looking at now just so you can kind of see what Smiley and I are talking about in each of these holes. All right, we are on to the second par three on the front side, the seventh, playing 151 yards, which is 26 yards shorter than it did in 2017, which when they played 177 yards. There's been this is another one of the redesigned holes, a 45-degree change in angle. The tee's been moved to the right side. There's a new green that was raised up a little bit. And the long time, the donut bunker that was a staple of the course has been restored to its original size. Tom McKenzie's quote here, shortening the seventh playing from a high tee to a tough green will be a really, really interesting test on a windy day. Padraig Harrington says, don't be fooled into thinking this is an easy short par three and a birdie chance with four bunkers around the green. Pin positions tend to be tricky. Never underestimate short par threes. So Smiley, talk to us about the seventh here, Royal Birkdale.
Yeah, it's your birdie opportunity. It's because of
you disagree with Padraig, huh? Right out of the gate. Yeah, well,
no, it's the reason is because of the wind directions. I don't think we're going to get a ton of what the prevailing wind out here, which is southwest, which would be in and off of the right. I think you're going to get a lot of down and off the rights. You're going to get some down and off the lefts and some straight downs. And what that means for good players is that other than the slope of the green being down and to the right on the right half of the green and in the getting to that front right hole location, I think you're going to see some guys walk away with some twos here.
Okay. All right. There you go.
But it's beautiful, man. It's definitely the picturesque hole out here.
I love the look of that donut bunker. I would likely land right in that little grass patch in the middle of that bunker.
No, dude, that's a bad shot. You ain't going over there.
Not even me. All right. I appreciate the confidence in me. All right.
The southwest wind. Yeah.
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 Eating donuts, you know? Give me a donut to go with my ice cream and Guinness. You know, just throw it right on in there.
They should give you a donut if you hit it in there.
The eighth hole, a par four playing 459 yards. Padraig Harrington, he says it's a demanding hole with a premium on accuracy off the tee. It's a pretty straight hole, but probably the toughest drive on the course, that's saying something for me.
I'd agree.
It's one of the more pressure-filled tee shots on the course. Why is that the case, Smiley?
Well, you got a ditch that lines the right side that you can't really see. You know, there's, you know, it's a potential drop from that penalty area. The left side, it feels like it's going to kick off the mounds into the fairways, but that fescue, it just looked like to me that a ball is going to get hung up there on the left side. And then you have bunkers that are just staggered, man. Like it's the beauty of Lynx golf that makes it feel like that bunkers are just all right next to each other. It looks like how they have, you know, they build up these mounds on the backside of these bunkers. So the visual of the tee shot, I can just show you right here. It just looks like you're hitting it into bunkers, all four of them.
Yes.
So there's nothing comfortable about that. But yeah, finding the fairway is paramount here. And even if you do, it's still a hole that you're just trying to make a par on, because you're going to have maybe some potential 6 and 5 irons into the screen.
Okay, so that we get to the ninth, the final hole in the front, a par 4, 414 yards. Patrick says this drive is important with the hole this time moving from left to right back to the clubhouse. It's a straightforward hole with crosswinds its main defense. With decent weather, it's a birdie chance. And I'll also note here that if you are looking at the flyover, as I am right now, that inviting little cut the corner 10th fairway over there, that is internal out of bounds. You cannot hit it over that direction. So just want to note that. And then, Smiley, give us your notes on the ninth.
I think you're going to see a lot of irons off this tee. You know, it's one of a classic link situation, whereas hit it where you see it. You know, hit it where you can see the ball land. And I think that's what we're going to see players do, playing to the top of the hill with some type of long iron off the tee. Today was down off the left. It will be potentially down off the right. That 3 iron could easily be a 4 or 5 iron, potentially by week's end, depending on how gusty the winds are. I think you could make a case for hitting driver here, but I'll say that some of the fescue that's at that 300 to 310 area up the right side is very, very thick, which is not usual for this place. It's been very dry and wispy. And then also, if you were to tug it to the left, it's one of the few patches of gorse bushes that they have on this property. So you're really taking on a ton of risk hitting driver off this tee. But if you had it straight down, you felt good, and you wanted to get maybe to a back hole location and push one way up there on this 414-yard hole, I think you would get it 20, 30 yards short of the green. That's definitely a possibility. But the most difficult part about that is you really don't know where you're aiming. Like, you're aiming in this massive dune area to the right, and you're not exactly positive where the gorse is, and you're not really sure where the right side of the fairway is, and you're hitting back into this fairway at an angle because the dogleg's to the right. So it's a stupid play. If you do it and you pull it off, you're lucky. Good for you. Be great for being committed to your shot, but I think a dumb play.
Okay. Let's make the turn now, and we are headed
to... Wait, are we getting a hot dog or no?
No. We're getting a sausage roll with HP sauce. Have you had one of those?
No.
You've not had a sausage roll with HP sauce? Oh, man. I'll tell you what, the one I had this is not England, Scotland, but I had one with the turn at King's Barnes was to die for. But it's like this, it's like a hot dog, you know, that's done in UK style, and then it's like embedded in a puff pastry. And HP sauce is kind of like, almost like a British take on barbecue sauce in a way, and you just lather that thing up. Oh man, just ask around over there. It's like,
dude, shout out, by the way, shout out to the RNA and their just fan zones like all across the golf course. Man, they have these food trucks everywhere and all the different types of cuisines. Man, they got smash burgers, they got burritos, they had a place that you can get popcorn shrimp. I'm like, there's just all these different options. They got wood-fired pizza, and all the talk about, you know, food not being the best over here, these food trucks were bringing the heat, and I was really happy to see that.
But no sausage rolls, huh?
Chicken finger stand. I mean, there may be a sausage roll, I just hadn't seen it yet.
That's kind of the thing. Is like, I don't necessarily love that. I kind of like going over there and experiencing their cuisine, getting a little fish and chips, things like that. Yeah, I think we're a little bit too harsh on British cuisine.
They're tired of me saying, can I have some ketchup?
Yeah.
Say tomato sauce.
Ask for some HP sauce next time. Yeah. Just give it a go. Just a little side cup to see if you like it.
Noted.
You won't regret it. Noted. And we are on to the back nine. Let's start with the par 4 10th, 397 yards. Patty says that the bad miss here is going way right. There's a ton of trouble over there. You tend to agree with that?
Well, this is interesting hole because today was east northeast, which I think throughout the week, it's going to be a little bit more in off of this tee. So the situation that I'm talking about is probably not going to come out too much based off of the wind being right to left and a touch of help today. Andrew Novak decided to try to hit driver off of this tee today, which if you're standing on the tee and you looked at the line that he took, you would think, where in the world did he just hit the golf ball? Because he was trying to like get it up like at the green. He got up there and he was 30 yards right of the green. That's how far like left you have to go if you want to go at this green. It's a dogleg left. You're going to see a lot of irons off of this hole, especially with the wind, I think, probably being a little bit more left or righting hurting, but you're going to have some in and off the right. But it's just another one of those tee shots, man, that you feel like you have to shape something to find the fairway. Mm-hmm. Or at least, like, you could take all the bunkers out of play, sure, and hit something at that, have it finish at about 235 yards. But then on the next shot, you're going to be playing a little bit more back into the breeze, or even just a little bit across. So it's, you know, how much do you want to bite off and with this dog leg? Do you want to challenge the bunkers? You just want to take it all out of play? And I think that's a question that most guys, I think, will say, you know what, give me the further distance into the hole and let me try to hold an 8-iron into the green.
Okay, on to the 11th, another par 4, 434 yards. Patrick Harrington says, it's a dogleg left, and the tee shot is all about avoiding the bunker at the left corner and the three bunkers further down on the right. For me, it's a classic Royal Birkdale hole. A good tee shot breaks the back of the hole to provide a birdie opportunity. That's right. Your thoughts on the 11th?
I'm telling you, it reminds me of the 8th hole. And the 8th hole was, you know, had those cluster of bunkers, the three or four bunkers that feel like they're all just connected and that there's 4 yards of fairway. The 11th hole was that. But when you look at the book, that's when you realize that there's a bunker to avoid and a bunker to try to stay short of. Mm-hmm. And it feels like that's, you know, you try to take out the left bunker and then you try to keep it short of the right bunker. For the most part, that's kind of the theme of a lot of these holes and when they have these things clustered out, is you just have to be able to pick a side. And then you just have to trust that you're taking a club that'll stay short of it. But this was a hole today that Joaquin Niemann tried to pull a 5-iron, just keep short of the right bunker at 302 yards and hit it past it.
Wow.
So it's even in that situation, man, it's just wild.
I cannot wait to see some of the run out we get in clubs taken. Like I also, this is a bit of a detour too, but I wonder, we've had two things that have been, one announced this week, another sort of a continuation of something we saw at the US Open. One is about fan code based on all the things we saw with Wyndham Clark. And there's like a five sort of tenant thing that the RNA's put out. So basically, if you violate any of these things, we're kicking you out. No refund. Right. And it goes hand in hand with this sort of this player code of conduct that we saw, like Joaquin Niemann on the topic, get penalized for at Shinnecock Hills, where, you know, he throws a club and there's no previous warning. I believe it's rule 1.2B, where they can assess you a two-shot penalty. Why do I say all that? Because I just wonder if, given the sort of changing challenge, if we're going to see some frustrated players, like if the pace of play is a little bit slow. Like I'm just wondering what we're going to see this week.
I will say, of what will be shown, that I'm going to go with over 2.5 clubs broken this week.
Really?
I think because the ground is so firm. So a normal club toss, I think it just gets, it breaks so quickly. So players need to be watching out for throwing their clubs this week, because I think it'll be like cart path as the ball or as the club is being chunked into the ground. So over 2.5 for me.
I mean, all right, that's a good line to set.
When you go for this guy, the fishing one,
like the caster,
try to throw it with you down the fairway.
Yeah,
I'm telling you, man, that's a
just yeah.
You're asking for it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I can imagine how frustrating it'd be if I pulled up, you know, if I'm Joaquin Niemann and I have a 5-iron in my hand and I'm trying to stay short of a 310 yard bunker and I'm past it, you know, or I'm in it, I wouldn't be happy either. So, okay, let's
go. But birdie opportunity. Yeah.
At 11, right? You're saying?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. If you find the fairway. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So the 12th is our third par three. It is playing 186 yards this year. Two of the four greenside bunkers, the left pair have been removed, replaced by sort of a tightly mown runoff area. Large dune behind the green's also been removed. Some notes from Tom McKenzie. 12th had four bunkers and a square configuration. Most of them weren't really in play for better players, but they made the hole basically unplayable for shorter players. So this actually probably most of the design was for the membership. We felt it was better to guard the right-hand side of the green a bit more stoutly and have a runoff area on the left, leaving arguably a much more difficult recovery shot than a bunker shot. Padraig Harrington adds, it's probably the most exposed hole on the course, with crosswinds often determining club selection. On typical links day, it's a tough hole. Anything to add there, Smiley?
I would disagree with the left of the green being a more difficult shot than a bunker okay. shot, because I think with a golf ball that would be gathering from right to left, that there's a chance that it would probably end up in a wrong side in the pot bunker. But I could understand that the bunker shot potentially being back in the breeze would be easier, but I don't know. It's not that low. Like, I think it's an easy putt from there. The green's doesn't have a ton of movement in it. So I would disagree with that statement, even though over the green is a place that you're trying to avoid. And this is what players were talking about in caddies, that you're basically almost trying to play a front number or something that doesn't go more than 10 yards into this green. And it's not that the green slopes back to front. It's just that being downwind, which is what we're expecting it to be this week, you just can't hold the green. So it's one that potentially is a 160-yard front number that could be playing, you know, somewhere, you know, 145 to 150. So guys are going to be trying to hoist pitching wedges and nine irons and just trying to get as much height and spin on it. But you have to take long out of play. Long is like almost for sure a bogey. And if you get up and down from back there, it's like very, very impressive. So I think you'll see a lot of players come up short to back pins and be able to comfortably get up and down from the left side, because that'll be a common miss.
The 13th hole, if you're watching this right now, please just pause this video and then just go search the Jordan Spieth shot in 2017. I mean, I did that again just to kind of refresh the memory. And that,
dude, I had an aha moment walking down that 13th hole today.
Okay.
Because it hit me. Because I was trying to figure out what hole I was on. I was like, wait, this is the Jordan hole. And I was in the middle of the fairway and I looked over and I was like, no way. There's no way this is the hole. There's no possible way that I'm on the Jordan Spieth 13th hole, because it doesn't even make sense. But if you knew the way the hole went before versus where it is now, they've shifted the fairway to the left to try to bring in the more of the ditch feature on the left side of the hole. And before, you used to be hitting it a little bit more dune side, where the fairway was cut up against those right dunes, and that's when he shipped it over the right dunes, which is now a hospitality area. So I was, at first, I didn't know that they shifted the fairway, or at least just like it didn't hit me. You know, remember, I'm jet lagged, so give me a break. But I was thinking, I was like, that might be the, like, I don't even know if I had that shot my worst day.
Well, I mean, if you go back and watch that video to refresh your memory, like, not only did he aim right to start, not only did he push it, not only was the wind going left or right, it hit off a guy's head and skidded down that direction. And so that's how it gets so far into that dune. He's up on that fescue. You got rules officials that are trying to climb up the hill to get like the correct like line of sight, like where he's going to take relief. Then he's down the tour trucks trying to establish what the line is and going on the range.
Dude, a really hard shot too. Oh. I'm so glad that there's a village there that I don't have to hit that shot, that the hole's different. Because we were thinking about doing that either today or tomorrow. And thank goodness I don't have to hit it, because I would have struggled.
When Jordan was asked about it on Monday, he said, it's come up probably more than any other hole I've ever played. I remember being pretty decisive in what I wanted to do and being frustrated with the amount of time it all took. Editor's note here, he actually apologized to Matt Kuchar up on the green, because Matt Kuchar was making a little run, and obviously he didn't want it to take that long, but that was the sort of relief he needed to take and how long, you know, he needed to take in order to do it. So I said, just because it wasn't my intent, I remember getting the most out of it and making a bogey there and feeling like I stole a shot back somehow, and of course goes on to hoist the claret jug. The notes here are, a new left tee, as you noted, restores the original playing line. The fairway has been brought back to the left-hand ditch. Right-hand bunker shifted to reward 300-yard drives, and that new dune line now separating the hole from the practice ground. It is a 500-yard.
It's a tough tee ball, man. 13 is a beast, man, because you're hitting it towards the ditch. You know, you're having to play towards that. If you're going to want to try to find the fairway, it's, I think, a tee shot that's going to have some left or right in it. So you're going to be having to, you know, aim even further left to try to keep the ball on line. So it's going to be a real challenge either to hold that left or right wind. I think you might see some guys hit three wood to try to hold a left or right wind. Or if you try to hit a chippy, you know, low run and cut, you know, it'll be easy for that ball to end up sliding into the right bunker. And then after that, like, I think some of the thickest rough and the worst miss on the golf course is right of this green. It's dunes that sit right of the green, but very, very heavy fescue. So I think you'll see tons of players end up in the short bunker and then also the left side of the green, knowing that they can't miss right.
Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing too, thinking the angle that Jordan was taking. And then when he hits that shot in 2017, he doesn't like it immediately because it looks like it's going right. Just barely just right there next to that bunker. And then a great up and down for bogey. Okay. So the 14th, we'll head to the 14th, which is a new hole. It was sort of a composited from the old 15th, the par five hole. I'm stumbling over myself here. 602 yards for this par five. The old par five 15th has been shifted a fairways width to the right and remodeled into the new 602-yard par five 14th, inheriting the layup area bunkering and dramatic undulations of the old hole. 10 fairway bunkers guard the tee shot, 7 on the left, 3 on the right. The old par 3 14th is gone completely. It's now a members' practice area. Notes from Padraig Harrington, the old 15th hole has been remodeled. I don't think the players will be scared of the yardage, but it's those 10 fairway bunkers which might scare them for the shorter hitters or the safety-conscious players. It's a 3-shot hole either way. It's a birdie opportunity at a key point in the round.
Not a 3-shot hole.
It's not a 3-shot hole. Is that wind-dependent, or are you just saying in general it just, you know,
Alistair Docherty hit a driver 9-iron into this hole today.
Oh, okay. Downwind?
Certainly went into the wind.
Yeah.
I have this circled in my book. Okay. Let's see if you can see it. See what that number says?
I can't.
415 is what it says. And that is to the bunkers off of the tee, and which I can't even believe they even have a number there for us, but I'm happy that they do. But there were a lot of divots just short of that 415 number today. Multiple 400 yard drives. It was straight downwind, and balls that were landing at 315 were rolling close to 80 to 90 yards. And then from there, they had about 185 to the front, and they're only trying to land at about 165, 170. And that's how I end up with a 9-iron in your hand.
Jeez Louise. I mean, that's gettable. I mean, I guess to Patty's point, whether or not it's a 2-shot or 3-shot, or that's the birdie or eagle you need to pick up coming down the stretch.
But
if you want to kind of get back in the thing or expand your lead.
Here's the challenge, and I talked about this on live from, I don't know if you saw much of it, but when the wind switches here from potentially on Sunday, which could be west northwest, it's a 3-shot hole. But it's been a easy get there in two this week. So when it gets in off the right, what does that mean? Well, the bunkers that you've been able to cover up the right side, making the hole feel like it's a fairly easy drive, all of a sudden bunkers are now all in play off of the tee. So I think you're going to see some guys struggle with that tee shot. And if you do find the fairway, then you have to figure out, where do you lay it up? Like, because the fairway slopes left and right and kind of crowns in between the next set of bunkers, it's not necessarily easy to find the next fairway on the layup. So this 14th hole, although it could, you know, yield some birdies and some low scores early in the week when it plays down on Thursday and Friday, as we get closer to the weekend on Saturday and Sunday, which we expect the wind to shift a little bit more north and westerly, I think then you're going to start to see some players, you know, start to hit in that bunker off of the tee down the left, and then having to deal with the next set of bunkers. And that's like classic, like Open Championship links golf. When you find bunkers off of the tee on par fives, you almost certainly always have a next set of bunkers that are in your way. It's just when you think it's like, oh, I found like an okay situation, like I'm on a bit of an upslope, I can get it out of this. And then you're like, wait, why do I have to aim 30 yards right? Because I can't go in that bunker. And that's that. And they're always perfectly placed to be in that like 9-iron, 8-iron range of the layup. So it's you could quickly step on your foot here if you misstep. But it's one that you could get a 90-yard advantage. I talked about that run out Like you could legitimately gain 90 yards on a player on a drive if you just hit the fairway.
For a limited time, you can get a Big Mac meal for just $8. That's a burger, fries, and a drink. They don't call it an extra value meal for nothing. Get a Big Mac meal only at McDonald's.
Price and participation may vary. Promotion pricing may be lower than meal pricing.
This is Becca and Tanya from Scrubbing In with Becca Tilly and Tanya Rad.
Becca, can I ask you a question? How do I convince myself I need something before I buy it?
Oh, so we're doing that today.
Well, I'll be shopping online and suddenly I'm like, well, technically this counts as self-care.
You're definitely not alone there.
That's why Klarna stands out. It's about smarter tools that help you feel more confident with your money.
Klarna brings payments, cashback, and money management together in one place with flexible ways to pay. It helps you make smarter money moves without the stress.
That's the goal, right? Having tools that make your money work with you.
Download the Klarna app today or visit Klarna.com to learn more. California resident loans made or arranged pursuant to a California finance law license. NMLS number 1353190. Klarna balance account required to be eligible for cashback points. Limitations, terms, and conditions apply.
Our last par three, the 15th, is a new hole. It's playing 241 yards. It's been described as Redanish by Jeff Shackelford. Tom McKenzie notes that while not using that official term, saying
I'm not going Redan.
Yeah, it just, you know, maybe it, I guess the what Tom McKenzie notes is that you can run that ball up on the front. So maybe that doesn't feel very Redanish to me, but it does feel like there's an opportunity to kind of play it a couple different ways. You disagree with both. Okay. Well, take it away then.
I guess like the big fall off area to the right makes sense, but I don't see like the run up. I mean, I just don't see guys doing that because there's fescue short to the right. So I just don't see guys trying to do that. Maybe they will. And they'd surprise me, but if it got like super downwind, I could see that, but we're not expecting it to get super downwind here. Cause it's a Southwest is down. I think you're going to see more left or right winds and a little bit more in off of the left. And so I think guys are going to be going for the aerial attack here more, but it's a beast, man. Like, I think you're going to see a couple different sets of tees. It played 250 today. Guys were hitting, just ripping three irons, but I think,
and were they holding the green with three irons?
Yeah, they were, because it was back into the breeze today. Like, remember what we talked about earlier about the fourth hole playing back into the breeze. Now this one has a little bit more working away from you, so a little bit tougher to hold than the fourth hole. And we're only talking about an 8 to 10 yard gap with a three iron back into a breeze. Like, it's the green, I think it's going to be the most difficult green to hit on the golf course. And
seems
it's going to be a challenge. And it's a really interesting finish to this golf course when you go, especially when you talk about the 13th hole, how challenging that is, the 15th hole, and then the 18th hole. We'll get there in a minute, but just a really good mix of having to hit some long irons, but then also having to hit some like high quality short irons.
And so then if you have a left or right wind and it kind of pushes it off the green, I mean, it doesn't look like that up and down from the right side of that green is particularly easy with some of those hills over there.
Yeah. It's going to go potentially, you know, if it lands just right of the green on the slope, you're potentially 30 to 40 yards away from the green.
Wow.
And so you could potentially be hitting a seven iron bump. You could be hitting a five wood. You could be hitting a back of the stand 60 degree. You could putt it. There's tons and tons of options, but it's one of those holes that, depending on where you are in relation to where the hole location is and where your ball sits, is what's in your way. Like, are there mounds that are causing you to play a certain shot? Meaning, if there's nothing in your way, you're like, okay, maybe I can putt this. Or if there is something in your way, it's like, well, I got to go over this and then bump it into the next hill. Or maybe there's a way in which you can, you know, hit something off of a side bank to where then you could get it to maybe check up the hill the opposite direction. So when we talk about like just seeing a shot and playing creatively, like the 15th, right of the 15th hole will be one of those that will require you to play with that artistry of this is, you just have to have so much trust. Like, it's going to be a party over there, right of the green this week.
All right. Looking forward to it. Yeah. Give me an ice cream. Go hang out over there. All right. Home stretch now, 16th hole, par 4, 393 yards. Patrick Harrington's, his notes are, accuracy is important here. While the green is slightly elevated and the bunkers around the green are deep. It's a short iron approach and a birdie chance. Agreed?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Yeah. I think it would be better if it was the prevailing wind, which is in off the left, because the mm-hmm. green is kind of perched up in rays and falls off short, right, and left, and to some very low areas that work with itself way off the green. And so when you think about a green that's kind of perched up a little bit, playing from, you know, a wedge shot that you're feeling like you're having to fight down, that would have been really fun to watch players, especially if you hit a poor shot, you didn't, you know, the wind gets it and gets it offline. Now that becomes this short par four all of a sudden becomes a tough up and down to make a par. But if you're able to execute the par, or, you know, a wedge shot or a flighted shot, it would make for a great three. But that's not what we've seen the last couple of days. It's been east northeast. It's played downwind. Keegan Bradley drove it over this green.
Wow.
And here's another one. Guys were trying to get it to about 109 yards. And you look here, there's this bunker that you're trying to keep it short of right here.
Yeah.
And there's a head here that's 109 yards to the front of the green. That's where guys were trying to get it to. And that's at about 265 yards. Adam Scott hit 8-iron to that spot.
Wow. Wow. Well, that's, I mean, I keep saying the same thing, but I think we're really going to marvel at club selection and results.
8-iron.
That's just insane.
Now that's east northeast. Now they're talking about that could be Thursday, Friday. I've seen just about everything on the compass at this point, but the majority of people think that's what it'll be Thursday, Friday. I'm also seeing a different forecast that's showing northwest, which that's a different, like, it's makes this whole place so different in a northwest wind, because all of a sudden that's a 2 o'clock wind. So you're getting off of the right mainly with a little bit of hurt. And so now you're trying to hit some type of like hold cut shot to try to hold the right to left wind. And when you get the north wind, and I think we're going to get a lot of it, that's a ton of crosswinds out here. So guys are going to have to be, you know, when they're hitting these irons down the fairway, they're going to need to be shaping it to hold the wind so that they can try to hold the fairway.
Are you seeing any draw bias early, late, late, earlier? Is it all looking pretty balanced?
You know, I think in links golf, like, I think you would probably want to be in the least amount of wind possible. So you would try to think that maybe getting out in there early in the morning would be great. But I don't think there's going to be a huge draw bias this week. Mm-hmm. Just based off of the wind being kind of similar every day, it's going to move around it direction wise. But I think it's just about everybody's going to have to play in the afternoon, and everybody's going to have to deal with, you know, it getting hotter, drier, and gustier as the afternoon goes on. What those gusts could be, could they be up to 20? Maybe. But even just 10 to 15 is plenty out here with how firm it is.
Okay, we have two holes here and then making some picks for the Open Championship or just talking about some guys we like. 17th hole, par 5, 566 yards. We just had a par 5 14th hole that you told me we had some guys playing driver 9-iron. What's the wind direction here and how birdieable or potentially eagleable is this hole?
Yeah, it's kind of an awkward tee shot a little bit. You know, you're kind of looking at these dunes that shape a valley that there's a fairway that's in between with some bunkers at the very end of it that you try to keep it short of. And that's the goal. It's 326 yards short of those. Today I watched some guys hit driver in a breeze that was it was in off the left, so that kind of just shows you that even with the in off the left breeze that the driver was still moving pretty good. I mean it's 319 yards to cover it, you know, cover the mounds on the left side, and a north wind is just straight left to right. I could see guys not hitting driver off of this tee. I think you could see some three woods and some long irons, but if you happen to pull it off the tee trying to hold that left to right wind and you end up in those bunkers left, it's a hole that you feel like you could absolutely just band-aid yourself up if you miss the tee shot, but you can make yourself you can make this whole play very easily if you hit the fairway and you get it up there around the green and an easy birdie. But I think you're going to see some big numbers on this hole with people that hit a poor tee ball and just band-aid themselves up this hole, because there's just
crap to have to deal with the rest of the way. You got bunkers, you got out of bounds right, you got, you know, heavily duned hole. It's not a very comfortable hole when I was on it, even though it's a par five.
And then our finisher, one that Potter Carrington calls a classic links hole to finish. It is a par four, 508 yards. Patty talks about, you know, it's a long iron in, beauty of the hole, because you want to test players the finish. How's this one for an 18th going to this iconic
It's a championship
clubhouse.
Finish, man. It's a championship finish. Like, it's as good of a final hole that I've ever seen. Wow. I've never been to Carnoustie at the 18th hole, so I've heard that's obviously one of the best finishes in golf. But it's got to be up there, especially with it potentially playing back into the breeze. Sunday might get a little bit of down off the left, where you might see some different clubs off the tee to try to take out some bunkers. But I think overall you're going to see, you know, plenty of different shots into this green too. I love that, you know, you have 45 yards of run up area of just baked out, no grass to play a shot. If you want to just, you know, play one that's, you know, 20 feet off the ground, you can, and chase one up on the green if that's the shot you see. So I think it's a beast of a hole, going to be a tough birdie, and one that just won't make you feel very comfortable to finish out this impressive golf course.
Okay, we made it through all 18 holes of Royal Birkdale.
Yeah, what do you think? What's your takeaways?
I think it's, I mean, it's, again, I sound like a broken record here, but I just think that the delight in this course and this test is going to be just how random it's going to feel at times, and just paying attention to things that, you know, like wind direction, and is it constant for a whole day, both in direction and strength, and what are we watching guys play it in an early wave and play completely differently in a late wave in terms of club selection, where they're landing. Like, I just think that it's going to be really interesting. The thing I look forward to the most is, like, who are the most creative players? What are the most creative shots we're seeing out here? How are guys, you know, looking at the test and seeing how certain guys are getting frustrated and saying, okay, I can come up with something a little bit different, or a way to play that's a little bit different, and just go out there and not get bamboozled or frustrated by a test that feels unique to most of the, you know, open championships we've seen the past couple of years. So that, to me, I think is going to provide a pretty compelling viewing experience.
Oh, totally. It's one that I keep kind of going to the guys who are more accurate as we kind of get into, like, what the picks are. I just don't think you can play aggressive and have big misses out here. I think this place is going to penalize you. It's at times feels like a gettable golf course, and at other times feels like one that you are just hoping to walk away with a par. So it's a really good mix of opportunities that you can go and take, but then also some holes that you just need to go up and hit some open championship shots. So the only other thing I'll add is that the green speeds are very fast to me, just from rolling balls. So it's so odd to me, like, when you have fairways burnout like they are, that have, like, hardly any grass on them, to then get to the greens where you feel like you're just whacking putts. It's just a stark difference.
Yeah, we saw Adam Scott on the driving range, like, putting yesterday, where he was, like, just rolling putts on that shaggier fairway grass. Like, probably
think fairways are faster. Fairways are faster than the greens.
That's amazing. I have, like, a list of nine guys. I have some guys that are 30-1 shorter, some guys that are 70-1 shorter. Then I got some sort of dark horses, let's call them. Do you want to kind of lead with some of your picks? You may throw some names at you. How do you want to kind of go about this section?
There's just a couple names that kind of just, like, stick out to me. I think Colin Morikawa is coming in just, like, so under the radar.
Yes.
This just feels like a Morikawa type of test, which is, you know, being very good at controlling your golf ball, especially the spin of your golf ball, which is very odd to think, but, like, I think being able to add spin to your ball helps here. I think flatter balls that aren't spinning much are just going to be so hard to control. And he's so good at being able to hit his numbers and then just be able to, I think it's very tough to judge on where the golf balls are going to end up, but I think he's very intelligent in how diligent and how his strategy, I think, will be in the correct place and be aggressive when he needs to be. So Morikawa is, like, the guy that's, like, flying under the radar for me. And I think he potentially could be a guy that wins this week.
How about like a Russell Henley?
Yeah.
He's played good at the last couple open. Like it's got a good open track record, a straight guy. You know, to me, it feels like that's a good look. We've talked about Tom Kim, you know, in great form, or a guy like Matt Fitzpatrick in great form. Mm-hmm. But even
dude,
like
Tom, I like Tom Kim a lot this week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about, so there are three that I have that are longer than 151. And I was curious your opinions on these three guys. Victor Perez coming off to a great finish as like the high lip finisher last week at the Scottish Open, and two you know solid starts, top tens in the last two.
I don't know anything about Victor Perez, so I got nothing for you.
Okay, how about Max Homa and Ryan Gerard?
You can make cases for so many of these guys. Nothing really just pops up for either one of those two.
Yeah.
But my brain just goes to the straighter hitters of guys that are in that category. Like Gerard definitely is in that category. Max is a very good iron player. But then I think you then go to like the creative side, like Justin Thomas is a player that I think is in that box. But then you just wonder, like, can he hit those fairways on the ones that are the really important ones? Like Wyndham Clark, same deal with him. Are you able to eliminate the big misses on some of those holes, which – we know that's something that he got away with a couple times at Shinny. So can Scotty Scheffler drive the ball straight enough at times? And, you know, he was a little squirrely at times today. Sam Burns is a player who's been amazing this major season, and he looked phenomenal today coming off having a baby, by the way. Congratulate Sam.
Yeah, congrats to Sam Burns.
Wyndham's an interesting one.
Like, because he said in his press conference, because I was sort of furthering what you were just saying on the driving piece, where he was asked, like, what was the most important start you made all year? And he said it was the miscut at a Ronnemake, because he felt like he all he did poorly was drive it offline. And everything else really kind of felt like it was close to being in place. So to your point about this week, if he can, and maybe if he doesn't have to hit a ton of drivers, you know, if he can kind of hit something less, this is a guy that's about as hot as you could be putting. And it's coming off a win at Shinnecock Hills.
Yeah, but it's still the times that you need to hit driver, typically that means those are going to be the most challenging holes of the day. And they're not wide fairways. Mm. They're difficult fairways with trouble looming, whether it's these ditches, they're pop bunkers, or fescue. I just don't think you can get away with being inaccurate. And I'm talking about just like a little inaccurate. We're not talking about big inaccurate. I mean, big, like everything will be punished off of the tee on these holes that require you to hit driver. And honestly, I think those are going to be like, who can play the third hole in the two par threes being 4 and 15, but then also the eighth hole is super challenging, the 13th hole. And then the 18th, like who can play those holes the best this week, I think will ultimately determine who the winner will be. Because I think for the most part, there's birdie opportunities on those other holes that I didn't mention. And I think you're going to see plenty of them, but it's these other holes. It's like who can play those even or better for the week. And those might be the guys that are going to be the ones that lift the trophy. And honestly, it's, I think a week that you just see kind of how everybody's playing after Thursday and like, like who is playing this golf course well and make it, and it looks easy to them. They feel like they have a good sense of how it's playing and putting the greens well. And like, I think you'll have a good feel after Thursday.
I think that's as well said as any other sort of prognostication we can do. Cause it's just really hard to profile to your point. You just don't know.
I really don't know. Yeah. Cause some guys are just not going to make that adjustment on Thursday and, you know, shoot something like 3 or 4 over, and all of a sudden they're on the outside looking in to make the cut. And then going out on Friday to try to make the cut and have to shoot, you know, a 200-300 par round, like it's just hard to force it out there. You know, you'd like this golf course to come to you. And I think some guys are going to make it look easier than others.
Man, so it's like, you know, the guys I have at the top are Rory, Matt Fitzpatrick, Chris Goddrop. Like, I guess anyone could play well, but to your point, it's like, it's really tough to know, because you're watching practice rounds, you specifically being out there, and you're seeing guys just try a bunch of different shots. You know, okay, five is one with the pond on the right. Like, I'm going to hit a driver up there. Okay, now I'm in the pond. Now I'm going to hit something different. And just, you don't know what the strategy is going to be, and you also don't know what the conditions are going to be on a given day. So it's hard to profile, say, like, this guy's playing the course really well right now, because we don't know how they are going to play the course when you put a tee in the ground on Thursday.
It's like, it's so hard to use this as a good stat, because some of these holes dogleg and you're hitting into a very into an angular small fairway, but distance from the edge of the fairway is a good measuring stick for how straight somebody drives the golf ball. And I think about these key holes, because you can't have big misses on those holes. You have to be somebody that's, you know, can step up on a hard tee shot and be able to hit it fairly straight. Like a Fitzpatrick would be a 65% accuracy guy, which is very high for the PGA Tour. So those are the guys that I'm looking at this week that I think would be probably, I think, a better look than somebody who's a 55% accurate guy. Rory McIlroy's kind of in that world, but you know, he's also good enough to be able to find those fairways and hit, you know, three woods on those holes to make sure that he finds it. And I think he'll make that adjustment. I think Rory's, I think he's not going to push it too hard, but that would be the question is does he try to push it too far sometimes, and does that get him into some trouble? But distance to the edge of the fairway, creativity around the greens with short game. And honestly, putting is, like, I know I mentioned the slow greens, but it's also putting, like, on links style greens when you have a lot of humps and bumps to them. Mm-hmm. It's sometimes like a certain type of player that putts better on those types of greens that have a little bit more slope and kind of humps and bumps to them, where versus other guys who putt better on faster, slopier greens, versus like having hammer putts and suits guys better than others.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be an interesting one. I mean, I know for our part, I just get me to. I'm debating as to whether or not I'm going to wake up at like 1 a.m. for the first tee shot. We'll see if we'll see if that plan comes to fruition. But give me to Thursday. Let me seeing how this thing's coming to life.
I got a good story. So the year that I played the year I played the Open Championship at Troon, they were teeing off all the guys for whatever reason. They were showing the first tees, and I was teeing off at like 1:30 in the morning or like 2 in the morning. And all my boys like didn't go to the Open, but they decided, all right, we're going to go get a bunch of beer. We're going to go to the bar, and they come back, and we're all going to watch the Open, and we're going to stay up all night and watch and drink. And, you know, I'm like 23 or 4 years old. So like, this is still like normal activity before our friends had kids. So don't judge my friends. And they made it all the way until like 30 minutes out before my tee time. And they just started going down like flies, and they didn't even make it out for the tee shot. So they like all like woke up on the couch, and like my round was over. They're like, dang it, we did it again.
Yeah. Oh, shucks. Yeah. Listen, it's easier said than done. Staying up that late, or I guess waking up that early, depending on which way you decide to approach it. So, that's it, Smiley. That's the preview.
Who's your pick? Who you going with?
About the course. Oh man, you give me a lot to think about.
I think I'm gonna go Morikawa, just because like that's the guy that's coming up for my brain.
Yeah, I think the combination of Fitzpatrick's form and then playing well last week, the Scottish. I keep leaning towards him. Yeah, so
I think it just.
I mean, there are a lot of guys I like, but I think if I had to nail down a pick, I think I'd go with Matt Fitzpatrick.
All right, so you have it. I like your Tom Kim mention too.
Yeah. Very good. Well, Smiley, we'll be recapping every day our usual major championship journals. As soon as you're done with your live from hit, we'll be back here. I guess people should expect it maybe in the let's see, the 5 o'clock Eastern hour ish, maybe 5:30. You can expect to see these episodes out. So stay tuned for those, recapping on a daily basis. And we'll talk to you a little bit later this week.
We'll see you next week on the Golf Channel. This has been The Smiley Show.
You know, I listen to this podcast. It's really cool. And
all of our lovely fans and subscribers, but make sure you like and subscribe.
It's cool to see what you guys are doing. I know golf fans appreciate it, but we do too, so please keep it up.
For all the good people of YouTube, like and subscribe. you guys have some good takes, so I'm happy to come on and shoot the...
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.